Prototype 5, Superhero Jewelry Box. I compared my manual modeled work with the procedurally generated one, and it is superior. If all you have to do is move a slider to go from memory card holder to a jewelry box, the procedurally generated stuff is superior. When you are manually modeling, you are working on a sub-millimeter scale to account for clearances of moving parts. Bringing all that together can get complex, especially since different components may need different clearances. A hinge pin does not need as much clearance as the hinge units, especially if you are aiming for a friction fit. It is the readjusting that gets you. And here, in the bright new world of programmable geometry, you just slide a slider. But there are problems, and they relate to the material itself. Even mold cast epoxy parts, advertised as made to last, aren't quite perfect. And without mentioning sintering or even casting molten aluminum, let us just address the bigger issue here. You are never supposed to print the whole thing. Just a skeleton that will then hold whatever materials you need to make your gadget go-go. I am holding a pre-cut credit card-sized piece of sheet metal in my hand right now. And that is the way. A thin piece of sheet metal is very light and extremely durable. At this thickness, the highly coveted and light aluminium or aluminum is basically aluminium foil, better meant for a grill. The price of bits of sheet metal is basically nothing, and it is already done for you. You don't have to print it, probably don't need to cut it or deburr it, you just slide it into the skeleton of whatever you are working on. Click the top of your assembly on or glue it, whatever it may be, and a coat of UV-resistant paint will make the doodad last forever. I am looking at the fifth prototype aimed to test a flat large pocket resembling a jewelry box. When you think about it, a proper vigilante would not wish to open the top of a pocket like a candy box and then try to grab whatever is in there with their fingers, especially if they were in the middle of saving a cat or fighting some evil old lady or whatever. But much rather, they would wish to open the side of a pocket, like the side compartment of a bus. They'd open the compartment with their inner wrist area and then expose their much-needed gadget to the palm of their hand in a single instant. The gadget would still need some kind of a simple dispensing mechanism, but that is easy. Say, if they needed a jolt of energy, a candy bar dispenser is a simple inner hinge mounted on the bottom, full height, third of the width. It would be pushing the bars into the box. A superhero belt for sales on the internet actually demands compartment configuration tutorials. Some of it would show the use of elastic bands or elasticord, which demands loops to be present in the compartment. Another great task for procedural 3D object creation. Here, it's just a flip of a Boolean flag. And another variation would have room for mounting plastic assembly blocks, like Lego. One screen case for Raspberry Pi actually comes with what is described as a building block compatible faceplate. They mean Lego, but it's trademarked. I printed the prototype with 1 millimeter wall thickness. I hate to say it again, but setting the wall thickness is yet another procedural generation perk. And 1 millimeter is much too thin for PLA, though I did it to save material, and that worked out perfectly. A skeleton case that perhaps accepts thin and shiny acrylic sheets would call for 3 or more likely 4 or maybe even 5 millimeter thickness frame. The acrylic sheet can be cut at home with a $200 CNC cutter. Please don't even think about using lasers in a $200 machine. Just use a normal cutter. Lasers are extremely dangerous for your eyes and for you, and the ones that can go through the thin acrylic will damage your sight. Don't try laser, not even freaking once, especially not in a $200 machine. And that is my research into the study of components. Forget about printing the whole thing. Batman would never print the whole darn belt. He prints the skeleton and then slides in the faces and possibly even sidewalls. If you go with sheet metal, the shiny metallic mirror-like surface finish looks fierce, be it belt or armor. And if you are creating cosplay armor, consider sliding in some ceramic tiles for the chest plate. The Batsuit can no doubt stop a 50 cal BMG. Finally, I think the last thing that I want to mention here is pricing and trademarks. 3D models, as in digital files, of your belt will sell for $15. Belts that you assemble and paint at home may sell for $100 or maybe even $350. Think of the belt as a piece of art. Each belt is unique. Even if you aim to sell under a single superhero name, just do it in the way that Iron Man does it, where the character has multiple suits from Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3 on up. The advice I would give here is simple. Sell both, the digital version for printing and one that you print and assemble yourself at home, maybe once every week. The assembly is somewhat optional here if you sell a parts kit where the person is yet to configure their own version of the belt. Here, you will need to include the sheet metal or plexiglass components as well. And what a fun thing to play with that is. And that could probably sell for $30 or $50, maybe even more. As to the names, the trademark, you really need to come up with your own names. And as you are about to witness, this can quickly become a total freaking disaster. I am almost certain you are not allowed to sell anything named Batsuit, Batbelt, or Batman, as those are likely registered trademarks, though I am just a doctor. Honorary title, as it tend to make people feel better. I highly recommend you don't test bored out of their skull powerful corporation lawyers with bad person, bad thing, bad boy, or bad airy even, though battery is probably too generic. Never mind. Point is, you come up with a name that you can put a .com after, as that is a super smart person's trademark search. By the way, supersmartperson.com was registered 10 years ago. Whatever you do, for the love of all things mighty, don't put P, as in P-E-A, in your superhero name. People will never associate that with the super healthy vegetable that is the source of all your powers. It's the other P they will think of. Trust me on that one. Though, having said that, while PEAman.com was registered in 2011, PEAwoman.com, at least according to my Whois database, has not yet been registered. But please, don't use that as a superhero name, brand name, or your product name. And if you are registering PEEwoman.com, which is also available, then remember, you will need to explain to your investors, parents, maybe even FBI, the nature of your company name or hero name or their ailment. Anywho. The superpowers of a PEA woman or a PEE woman are too powerful and confusing to reliably sell a belt or armor product on eBay with. And for completion's sake, The sidebar of my Whois lookup claims claims that Tinklement of Life is available too, but I am unwilling to investigate any further. Stay away from these terrible superheroes and their awful powers. Think happy thoughts, or at least cat species. Lynxwoman.com or asparagusman.com appear to be available. Maybe try that.